everyone talks about living by faith, and then when someone does it, they're all like,
What are you doing?
Like, no, don't do that.
Today, we're talking about faith and obeying Jesus.
Amen. Well, I think when we were chatting about it earlier, I think we had a really good difference of arriving at this topic. You were like, oh my gosh, I've got all these testimonies of when I was fearless and obeyed the Lord, and I was like,
and the good stuff that's happened from
that. Mm-hmm. And the good things that have happened from it. So why don't you jump into that first, and then I'll...
Okay, well, this is what I got excited about, was because I felt like God said taking risk in response to obeying Jesus is always worth it. And like, I started looking at my own life, and I was like, wow, that is so true. Every time that I've ever quit my job was out of taking the risk to obey Jesus, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense in the natural realm for me to do it, but it has always been rewarding.
So I think for me, when it comes to obeying the Lord, I've never heard the Lord say, I want you to go do this, and then that's going to happen, and then this. And it's like, because that's always the stories when people are like, oh, you've got to obey the Lord, and I heard the Lord say this, so I went and did it. And I'm like, well, if it was that simple, of course you'd go do it. Like, if the Lord told me, like, tomorrow go to this place and knock on this door, and it's like, sure, like, I'll go do it. But like, God has never ever laid a plan out in front of me that I can then follow step by step. For me, it's been the total opposite. I will have holy dissatisfaction. You know, I'll be working a job or being in a place or doing a thing, and I'll just be like, God, like, the grace has left me for this place. The joy has left me. The peace has left me. I need to get the scripture, but it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. In other words, let the peace of God be the referee. Let the peace of God be the one that says yes or no, do this, don't do this. And so for me, it's always been this thing of like, whoa, like, why is life just so draining of my grace and my peace and my energy? I then know that I've entered a place of faithlessness. And so the scripture here in Romans 14 verse 23, it says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So obedience, when you look at the word obedience, you would say that the opposite of obedience is sin. Mm-hmm. Or disobedience is sin. Disobedience from God is sin. So it's like, oh my gosh. So obedience, you could say another way of looking at obedience is being faithful or living in faith. And so for me, I often go, oh my gosh, I have no more faith for this place. I have no more faith for this season. I have no more faith for doing what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So then there's two prayers. Lord, is it something I'm doing? Is it a sin in my life? Is it a wrong belief system in my life? Is it a circumstance that you're wanting me to persevere through? In that case, stir my faith up. Lord, give me faith again. You know, and I'll go back to my journal and revisit, like, well, what made me faithful about this at the beginning? What made me excited about this at the beginning? And try and stir up faith again. And I'm sure there's been times in my life where I'm like, okay, I've stirred the faith up, something changed, something happened, and boom, we broke through that season of no faith and we carried on. In which case, again, that's back to living in obedience. The situation didn't change, but my obedience changed, or my faith changed. The second thing happens is when I've tried to stir up faith and it's still just as draining, maybe even more draining. And it's like, all right, Lord, I get it. Like, this is holy dissatisfaction. I'm living in a place of faithlessness. What is the next season? What is the next thing I'm gonna move to in faith? And again, I seldom have a three-step, four-step plan of like, well, this person, this door, this opportunity, da da da. Often it comes from saying, all right, I'm done here. I'm closing this door. Lord, I'm moving out in faith that you're going to open up the next thing, bring the next thing. And Warwick said two things about living in obedience, being a living sacrifice. He said it'll look like two things. Number one, dying. Or number two, missing out. And so when you start to live by faith, two questions always pop in your mind. Like, oh my gosh, are we going to die? Or, oh my gosh, are we going to miss out? And that's kind of when you know, like, okay, now you're living by faith. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're thinking about like quitting your job or going somewhere new or starting something, the first question is like, oh, you're going to have enough money. If you don't have enough money, you're going to die. Or if you lose leave your job, like, you're going to miss out on promotions, miss out on the people, miss out on the connections, miss out on, you know, the stuff. If you leave and go to a new place, like, oh my gosh, you don't know anyone there. You're going to die alone on the side of the street with no house. Like, where are we going to live? You're going to die. Or again, like if you leave and go to a new place, like, well, what if we miss out on what happened here? Or like, what if I go to the wrong place and I miss out and I should have gone to this? Like, okay, now you're living in faith. Because faith looks like two things, death and missing out. And that's fear. It's fear, fear, fear. Fear of death, fear of missing out. And the opposite of fear is faith. So when you live in faith, you're going, all right, Lord, I have faith. By faith, you are my protector. By faith, you are my provider. By faith, you are my promoter. And it's okay if it looks to the world like I'm going to die. You know, to die is gain. It's okay if I miss out because God is my reward. And so these are all the things that well up in us when we start to live by faith. And from my side of things, living by faith looks like not staying in sin.
Yes.
And from your side, do you want to give your Trader Joe's story?
Yeah, and so that was my life back in 2015. I was working at Trader Joe's. I had been there for a year. It was supposed to be a temporary transition job, and you know how that is. So it was coming up on my 1 year mark, and I was like so discontent, and I felt completely burnt out, and I had just gotten back from mission school the previous year, and I was like, Lord, I did not go to mission school to come back to Kentucky and work at Trader Joe's for 1 year. That discontentment was stirring up in me so much that I was like, I am gonna die if I stay here because I feel like my soul is dying. I don't feel like I'm doing what God made me to do, but I don't know what God made me to do, so I don't know what to do. And so I one day was journaling and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna make a list of, you know, what could I do? If I could do anything, what could I do? What are the options? I had a friend from mission school that lived in France, and she had invited me out to France several times. And so I was like, well, you know, I could go to France and partner with her and what she's doing in France. So that was the one bullet I made
and
in my journal.
And you did get excited about that.
Yeah, and I was excited about it because I was excited about her life and her vision for what she was wanting to do in France. I could also go to South Africa and go visit our friends Josh and Rachel and serve with them at their mission at a rubbish dump and help with what they're doing there in South Africa. And I'd also looked into being a director, an activities director at a local nursing home. And I was actually currently like in the process of applying for it. So I was like, that's one option. I could stay in Lexington and be a activities director for a nursing home. And I've always really loved old people. So that wasn't a like obscure thing. I did feel excitement about that. And then my last thing was I stay at Trader Joe's and make it like the very best and like make it work. So those were my
five. Lord, give me faith for this again.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, like I felt this question come to me, which ones would require complete dependence on the Lord for those things to happen? And I was like, well, staying at Trader Joe's, I can like, that's pretty comfortable for me. The nursing home job, like that is kind of success because I'm just like I'm getting a normal job again and
it's financially secure,
but yeah, so I was like like that doesn't really require dependence on the Holy Spirit for me. And then I started praying about it and saying, okay, Lord, I thank you for making it really clear to me which of these I'm supposed to do. And actually God gave me a dream that I was on this like weird path. It was very obscure and I was behind the scenes of this theater and I climbed up this ladder and when I opened this hatch door I saw Josh and Rachel in South Africa and they were waving at me saying come. And so I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh gosh, that was so weird. Is this God telling me to go to South Africa? Well, then the next day or 2 days after that was Sunday church and I just started going to this church. I knew nobody, so I go and I sit by myself and there is this man who I have such great respect for. I feel like every time he's come into my life it's always been a divine appointment. And he didn't even go to this church, but he sat behind me. So after the service, he said hi to me and immediately he said, what country is on your heart? And it caught me so off guard because like we hadn't even said like, oh, hey, how's it going? He like just went straight to it. And I was like, well, South Africa. And he was like, great. Why are you not? He's like, are you going to go? And I was like, I don't know. And I'm like him hauling around of all the reasons, like, I don't know. And he was like, wait, why aren't you going to go? And I was like, well, because I don't have the money and I would have to leave my sister. We lived together and she would have to find a roommate. And I guess so that's like uncomfortable. And he was like, money and comfort should never be a reason for you to stay where you're at.
It's a good word.
And it was so convicting for me because I was like, oh my gosh. And he said, you need to get out of your comfort zone and give God 2 months to provide you all the money and watch what he can do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, I guess this is what I'm doing. At this point, I haven't even asked Josh and Rachel if I could go. Like, they have no idea this is off the radar. So I remember I pulled up Facebook Messenger to ask them about going. And as I was typing it, we had Google Chromecast. And as I was typing the message on the Chromecast was a picture of South Africa. And at the bottom, it said the location of South Africa while I'm messaging them. So I was like, oh my gosh, God, you are like beyond confirming that this is where I'm supposed to be. And said, hey, are you open to having me come as like an intern or missions intern? And when they had got back to me, they're like, yeah, actually, we were thinking about hosting interns starting in February. And then on the financial side of things, God provided all of the money in 1 month, and not 2 months, less than 2 months. So one day I was driving and my pastor had called me and said, hey Kelly, are you sitting down? Like, well, you need to make sure you come to church tomorrow because there's a man from our church, and he said his name, and I had only met him, this man, once. He said, there's a man from the church and he has money to give you. He wants to pay for you to go on your trip. And I was like, okay. And he's like, yeah, so just make sure you go tomorrow. He'll give you a check. And he's like, that's it. And so like he got off the phone and I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is amazing. You have totally provided. And I got so excited. I called my mom and told her and she was so excited. And so, but then that night, as I was getting ready for bed, all of a sudden doubt and fear had come in and the voice of the enemy was like, well, he doesn't know how much money you need. And at the time, I still needed $1,400. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so embarrassing if he asks how much money I need. And I have to tell him $1,400. Like, I never want to ask someone for that much money. And then I was like, what if he doesn't pay the full amount? And I've already told my family that my trip is paid for and this isn't what's happening. So all this fear and condemnation and lies kept, was like overwhelming me. So I go to church the next morning and I was like kind of nervous and I saw him and he comes right up to me, hands me an envelope and I just start crying before I even know what's in the envelope. I go and I sit down by myself and I open up this envelope. Inside of it is a check written for $1,600. So it was even more than what I needed. And I felt like that was God seeing me in secret. Like I didn't need to even tell this person how much money I needed. Like he asked God and gave me more than what I needed for my trip. And so from that point, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is happening. I have my money. God gave my sister a roommate, one of our friends that she moved in and took my place. And like everything was so taken care of.
Yeah.
So then I was able to go to South Africa for 3 months.
But I think that's what's encouraging. I think that testimony is encouraging because I think the two issues that are tied so close to faith are money and fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith is like, I've got this excitement, I've got this faith to go do something or be something or have something, and I don't have the money for it. Or I don't have the ability to leave what I have to go do what I want to do, what I feel called to do. And so money, that's why Jesus speaks so much about money, because are we serving God or are we serving money? So to stay in a job that you have no faith for, and disobey what you do have faith for out of serving money rather than serving God. You've got to see that. So then the next thing is serving fear of man. So like I might have the money or I might have the faith that God will provide the money. But oh, what will my parents think? What will my friends think? What will this person think? What will that person think? And we are so afraid of either disappointing someone or confronting someone or making a decision that will affect someone. Money and fear of man, those are the two most intricately linked factors to faith. My encouragement would be if you're in a place of doubt or a place of no faith, or a place of holy discontent, is to pray, Lord, would you give me your perspective on this situation? Mm-hmm. Would you renew my faith? Would you help my unbelief? And if you've prayed that, and if you've honestly sought to try and renew your mind in that situation, it really may be the holy discontent from the Lord to move you on to your next season. So the next prayer would then be, Lord, would you reveal to me a few options that I would be really pumped about, faithful about, excited about? And you know deep down in your heart the things that God has called you to do. Maybe you might not know what they are, but you know the direction of where God is calling you to. And a really great, again, a great encouragement is Romans 12 of become a living sacrifice, renew your mind, and you will know what is the good and perfect will of God.
Even though it might be like terrifying and scary, and you are dealing with the fear of man and the money stuff, there is always a reward for following Jesus, whether we see it now or we don't see it until heaven. Obeying Jesus is the reward, and that as Christians and as laid down lovers, that is our whole purpose in following Jesus, is to just live in radical obedience to him.
I think a good question to ask yourself is, what do I have faith for? And if you're struggling to get that out, is to have someone else ask you, what do you have faith for? And try and process that out. It's like, man, I've got faith to do this, to be that, to attempt this. What do you want to attempt? Because I think so often we're afraid of failure. So it's like, what have you got faith for? And let God catch your faith. You know, God's not concerned with what man thinks is success. Mm-hmm. He's concerned with obedience. And God speaks to us through the word. You know, that's why it is important to read through the Bible. And there's going to be scriptures that jump out to you like, oh man, I'm not obeying that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, obedience may look like death. It may look like missing out. It may look like fear of man, fear of lack. And there's always a reward for obedience. I would just encourage that is what do you have faith for, and what's stopping you? What's stopping you from going and doing that? Like, how can you get action towards that? Because faith without works is dead. So how can you start working toward the thing that you have faith for? Work is what you get paid for. So if you're working for the Lord, he's going to pay you. He's going to reward you.
Mm-hmm.
So just to encourage you for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good.